Hello and welcome to Daily Info's Oxcast. I'm Ash Bond.
I'm Emma Pearson.
And next week it's St. Giles' Fair. Shamefully, I've never gone, but Emma, you've gone, haven't you?
I have, though not till after I finished at uni. I think because it's out of Oxford terms, like you don't hear about it while you're actually at uni here. But yeah, I went last year, and it's really fun. It's a very vibrant sort of space when St. Giles' Fair is going on. I suppose like the weird thing about St. Giles as a fair is that it's actually in a main road. It's like the main thoroughfare going into North Oxford, and all of St. Giles gets closed for 2 days, and it's that kind of it is a slightly it feels like the fair's going against the authorities a bit. Because of that, yeah, and that it's got that slightly sort of seedy edge in a good way, as well, that kind of goes along with that kind of atmosphere too.
Yeah, fantastic. So we've just been getting the year planner ready in the office, which means double and triple checking all of the dates. Of all the holidays, solstices and full moons, St. Giles' Fair was actually the hardest date to get right.
Yeah, so the rule is that it's held on the Monday and Tuesday following the first Sunday after St. Giles' Day, which is the 1st of September. So that means it's kind of confusing, because if the 1st of September is a Saturday, so immediately after a Sunday, then the fair is held at the earliest possible time, so the 3rd and 4th of September. However, if the 1st of September is a Sunday, then you have to wait a whole week, and the fair is held on like the 9th and 10th of September. So this year it's early. It's the 3rd and the 4th.
So that really tripped me up, because I was doing the first and second proofs of the planner, and I put it on for a week before. So next year is actually later, isn't it?
Yeah.
2019. So we know it's enough of an Oxford tradition to get itself onto the prestigious Daily Info year planner, along with summer eights and arts weeks. But when did St. Giles' Fair start?
It kind of evolved, I think, in the early 17th century out of St. Giles' Feast, which was a kind of church feast, I guess, commemorating the consecration of St. Giles' Church. And then it became a general fair, sort of fun fair, with children's rides by the beginning of the 19th century.
Sounds a lot more fun.
Yeah, it does sound a lot more fun. With apologies for possibly sounding like a children's history programme, we thought we would tell you a bit more about the history in the words of the people who lived it. W.E. Sherwood, Master of Magdalen College School, describes St. Giles' Fair at the time of his childhood in the late 1850s.
I need not say much about it, except that we were all, and especially the children, much less sophisticated in those days, and so we were content with much humbler things to amuse and delight us. The shows, therefore, and the toys were all very primitive, and would be utterly despised by the young folk now. Even the roundabouts of that far-off time were worked by boy power, youngsters being induced to run round between the nave and the horses and push against their supporting spokes in return for a free ride after so many minutes.
As the century progressed, rides for adults started to be introduced, as zip wire, for example, which proved very popular with all kinds of people.
This is an extract from the Oxford Chronicle of the 24th of September, 1889.
The stalls extended on the west side from Little Clarendon Street to New Inhall Street. At the top of St. Giles, Blandy's ghost illusions formed the attraction. In close proximity was a flying trapeze, which was a novelty. A thick wire was erected, about 30 feet high and 40 yards long. To this was attached a handle with wheels, which, with slight pressure, ran swiftly down the wire. The public were invited to take hold of this handle, throw themselves from the platform, and then experience the peculiar sensation of flying through the air. At the end of the wire was a padded board to prevent injury to the aerialists, and a net underneath in case of a fall. This was well patronised, not by men and boys only, but on Monday by numerous females who ascended the platform and made the flight quite regardless of the audible comments of the onlookers at their temerity. After a time, the proprietor of the trapeze was informed that the journey would not be allowed to be undertaken by females.
Health and safety concerns and the general fear of moral degeneracy were such that there were attempts to ban the fair by the end of the 19th century. But such attempts proved futile, thankfully. St. Giles' Fair is, and seems yet set to remain, a fixture of Oxford life.
James Morris wrote in 1965,
The annual junket called St Giles Fair is an inexorable sort of festivity. In September 1914, they tried to cancel it, but the Home Secretary himself admitted that he was powerless to do so. For these 2 days of the year, traffic is diverted, business is disrupted, the night is gaudy with neon, and all among the plane trees there proliferate the sideshows, caravans, and pulsing generators of the showmen. St Giles's Fair is like a city with its masks torn off, seen with a flushed clarity, and makes you wonder how such contrasts can ever be reconciled. It is sure to end, you feel, like all the worst dreams, in a scream, a cold sweat, or a blackout. Oxford, however, is old and experienced at the game. By Wednesday morning, all those stalls and roundabouts have miraculously disappeared, and the scholars, the charge hands, the oafs and the parsons are restored to their blurred and unalarming selves.
Ben, you've been to St Giles Fair, haven't you?
I certainly have, Ashley.
And did you enjoy it?
I did enjoy it. I'm not one normally given towards fun fairs, but it was just down the street from where I was living at the time. And I believe I've been twice now, which is some recommendation, I suppose. The first time I went on the Ferris wheel, which I can heartily recommend. It's a bit expensive for my taste. I don't know what the going rate is for Ferris wheels, but I believe it was around £4, which I suppose is okay. And the reason I'd recommend the Ferris wheel is you get a view of Oxford that I don't think you would be able to get anywhere else.
So it's like a little Oxford eye, you know, like a London eye.
It is. I mean, if you're scaling down London to Oxford, then you scale down the London eye to the St Giles Fair Ferris wheel. And yeah, that's about the thing. So we got a view down into St John's, which was very nice, into the exclusive world of St John's. But also we got a nice view of the whole Oxford region, really, at dusk, which was beautiful.
That is beautiful.
Yeah, and for a city that doesn't have really any high-rise buildings or very tall buildings, it was nice to get an aerial view.
So is there any other rides there apart from the Ferris wheel? Because I think I've seen the Ferris wheel walking past, mm-hmm. and shamefully did not actually go in to St Giles Fair. But somebody mentioned a ghost train.
There are plenty of rides there. I have to say, I think the Ferris wheel is the pick of the bunch. The ghost train has a certain camp appeal. It wasn't terrifying. I did survive the experience intact.
That's good to know.
But you do get a fetching photograph of yourself taken in the ghost train, and you can buy, again, quite expensive commemorative memorabilia for your journey on the ghost train. The Tilt-A-Whirl is very good. I can recommend the Tilt-A-Whirl. I wouldn't eat any of the St Giles food.
Just generally or just before the Tilt-A-Whirl?
You didn't let me finish. Just before the Tilt-A-Whirl. I'm sure the food is delicious, but I wouldn't eat too much of it before going on the Tilt-A-Whirl. For people who have a bit of a stronger stomach than I do, there's more thrilling rides than that. There's a thing that you go up in a cage, and it spins around like a big hacksaw.
It sounds terrifying.
I can't say that I went on that one. But it looked, judging by the screams, which I think were screams of ecstasy rather than anguish or terror, people seem to be enjoying themselves.
Okay, cool. Thank you very much for talking to us, Ben.
That's okay, Ashley. Anytime.
Having conversations, like real people.
No, we're not real people.
We're here talking to Miranda about some events that are going to be happening in the next week.
Yes, because I've been making our weekly What's On, which is a PDF event summary of some, but not all, of the many, many events that local people list on dailyinfo.co.uk.
And if you're very lucky, you can have it emailed to you weekly.
It's
simply
free.
By requesting it for free, yes. And so what are some of the most interesting events happening this weekend?
Well, it's always an interesting job doing the weekly What's On, because you get to see all things that are coming up. And particularly interesting, I thought, this week was... there's a Pecha Kucha lecture, which I know, it sounds brilliant, doesn't it?
I want to go. I don't care about the... No more information. That's it. Where is it? Well, what time is it?
Well, it's at the Ashmolean Museum on Saturday, this coming Saturday, the 1st of September, and it's 11 till 12.
Right.
It's a Japanese-style lecture. You've got 10 artists from the Village Green Project in Stanton St. John.
Yeah.
10 artists each speak for 6 minutes and 40 seconds.
That's very specific.
That, I think
very
that's
specific.
Brilliant, because the one thing I cannot stand is people who rabbit on and on and on. There's actually one prize award, it's a science prize, I can't remember which one, that actually has small children come on stage after 60 seconds and start shouting at the lecturer in order to stop them. I think it might be the Ig Nobel Awards. The ones
maybe
we
should start introducing it in this podcast.
Yeah, exactly, because I am rabbiting on. So let's move on to the next event, Sunday.
Well, the next one that I found interesting was Millet's Farm at Frilford. Mm-hmm. And it's on Kingston Road, Frilford, 0X135HB. And they've got a farm shop and a pick your own, mm-hmm. and so on. But on Sunday the 2nd of September, they're having a chili fiesta.
Wow.
Which sounds pretty good. They're having chili produce and live music and chili tasting and demos.
That actually sounds really fun.
Yeah, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Sunday. It's free, but I bet if you go there, you'll end up coming back with bags of chilies.
Yeah, although I would, throughout the whole event, be having flashbacks to that Simpsons episode where Homer tastes the hallucinogenic chili and goes on a spiritual journey.
That's a good one, isn't it?
Narrated by Johnny Cash. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was pretty damn good, actually.
Love Johnny Cash.
Can't promise that, unfortunately, but anyway.
Lots of chilies. Millet's mm-hmm. Farm, Sunday, 2nd of September, for all you chili fans out there, and they are milletsfarmcentre.com, mm-hmm. Kingston Road, Frilford in Abingdon.
Of course, all these details are available on our lovely website,
www.dailyinfo.co.uk.
She's a hit at parties.
It's funny how often it comes up at parties, actually. What do you do well?
You're going to wish you hadn't asked.
on Monday the 3rd, slightly more serious one, there is the future of Rose Hill Community Centre to be decided. It's a consultation with Oxford City councillors, mm-hmm. as normal, and they're discussing whether to refurbish the existing community centre at Rose Hill or whether to build a new one, which could be near the cooperative nursery. The proposal is to bring together several local facilities under the one roof. It could have, if they do rebuild it, it could have a community centre, social club, advice centre, sports pavilion, youth club, so on and so forth.
So pretty much everyone then could be
under one roof at Rose Hill. However, of course, there will be disadvantages to this as well. To find out about them and to have your say on the Rose Hill Community Centre, Monday the 3rd, 7:30 p.m. at the existing Rose Hill Community Centre, 0X44UY.
Cool. Well, that's once that's sort of thoroughly wiped out your civic virtue, what are you going to do to recover on Tuesday?
Well, if you fancy, the theatre is fantastic this week. Really, really interesting theatre. We've got Agatha Christie's Murder on the Nile, which presumably is based on Death on the Nile, which I think is my favourite of hers. That's at the Playhouse. Well, yeah.
That is a great recommendation for anyone who knows Miranda.
Yeah, that's true.
Bookcases of Agatha Christie.
Absolutely.
Love
yeah.
Agatha Christie.
She's a connoisseur, so head along. Yeah. So that's at the Playhouse next
that's
week.
That's the Playhouse starting on Monday.
What about the new theatre?
New theatre's got Cirque du Ciel doing Shanghai, spelt without the second A. And that's an amazing circus skills performance. It's acrobatics, dance, martial arts. Yeah. Ancient and modern Chinese culture.
So Cirque du Soleil, actually, are a kind of successor company. They've got some of the same artistic minds behind it as Cirque du Soleil. Oh. So if you've ever been to a Cirque du Soleil performance, or even if you haven't, you will know that they are unbelievable. Like, they really do take circus, which is often quite staid and traditional, and really make kind of weird, vivid, incorporate like dance and storylines.
I'd be very fascinated to see that. I went to a few circus performances when I was in China last time, mm-hmm. and they train from when they're six. They have special academies for circus performers from when they're six. So
wow.
That's amazing. It would be just like Noel Stretfield, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Who says communism doesn't work?
That's Tuesday the 4th and Wednesday the 5th, 7:30 p.m. at the new theatre. Just mm-hmm. those 2 days. Then the North Wall Arts Centre, we've got a new play called Dead on Her Feet, which is by Ron Hutchison.
Yeah, this is a really weird one, I think. Apparently in the 1930s, they had these kind of crazy dance marathon like contests where couples in, of course, depression stricken America would be dancing the Charleston, the Foxtrot, all this sort of stuff for literally days, even weeks on end.
Is there a Scott Fitzgerald story about this?
Yes, there is. Yeah. And that is one of the things that inspires this play, which is about basically kind of like a modern reproduction of this, because people are dancing. People are dancing until their feet bleed.
X Factor and all the things.
X Factor to win some cash in depression-struck Britain.
Girl with the Red Shoes.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, that's at the North Wall Arts Centre. It's called Dead on Her Feet. It's a new play, and it's Thursday the 6th and Friday the 7th, and also Saturday the 8th.
Cool.
And two other interesting theatrical things this week are The Government Inspector at the Jericho Tavern, which I thought was a fantastic venue.
That could
kind
be
of
really
thing.
Good or really bad.
It's Flintlock Theatre, so it ought to be good, and it's wacky and satirical, and it's a very, very funny play when it's done well. So yeah. I hope that's going to work. That's Tuesday to Friday at 7:45 p.m. Also at the Botanic Garden, there's a very interesting performance on Saturday the 8th. It's called An Evening of the Uncanny, and it's exploring myths, fairy tales and folklore surrounding the gardens.
I'll be honest, I didn't think there was that much myth surrounding the Botanic Gardens, but apparently I could be proved wrong.
Well, possibly it's surrounding gardens in general, but I think the Botanic Garden's got so much in it that if they've got anything about any plant, it's pretty much sure to be there, so that's all right.
I do know there's that tree, isn't there, with which Will and Lyra at the end of his Dark Materials sit.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I think we've got Lyra's cherry marked on our map of Oxford, actually.
I think we do.
Yeah, I thought that was a nice detail that we went through and put in all of the little trees that are famous for various things in Oxford. So,
and Patrick loved the job of going and finding out about that as well.
Patrick,
thank you very much.
Yeah, everyone needs a hobby.
There's also, speaking of hobbies, an interesting lecture on Tuesday the 4th, which is A Tour of the Planets and Beyond, which sounds pretty cool.
Literally, presumably.
No, it's just a lecture.
Damn.
You know, I'm sorry. One day we'll send you into space as soon as we possibly can. Dr. Young will discuss space exploration and the search for life, which should be very interesting. I'm always looking for alien life. Ashmolean Natural History Society.
She even works with some.
7:45 p.m. Visitors £2, members free. That's on Tuesday the 4th at St. Peter's Church, Wolvercote, first turn, Wolvercote.
Right. Double Wolvercote. And finally, going right outside of Oxford.
Yes, at Blenheim Palace, there is a horse riding event, which is the International Horse Trials. You can watch some of the world's finest riders and their horses competing against one another at Blenheim Palace on Tuesday the 6th.
What did the horses do?
I think they compete against one another. I'm not entirely sure quite well.
I mean, to be on trial. You might want to cut that one out.
Not any lie.
So I believe now we have a culinary feature, actually, don't we?
I was thinking, if you are going to go to the chili festival at Mellett's Farm, that's on Sunday, one of the things you're likely to find there at this time of year is the sort of last glut of courgettes.
It's courgette harvesting season, is it?
Well, it's coming to the end of courgette harvesting season, and I always love the summer principally because you can get lots of mange tout, lots of courgettes, and or zucchini, as they are known.
Not in this country, though. What is this podcast? Is it British?
I might want to cut that bit out as well. Anyway, courgettes. Yes, they. It's coming to the end of the courgette harvesting season, and I thought, you know, let's take one last opportunity to get hold of loads and loads of courgettes and do things with them.
I'm going to be honest on this one, Miranda. I hate courgettes.
Really?
So you are going to
probably never had them cooked properly.
That's the thing. People always say that to me, and I always say, "Well, when someone serves me something that isn't overboiled cucumber, then I will enjoy it a bit more." But you are going to have to work really hard with this recipe to convince me to eat a courgette.
Well, you might like this one, and then we can also ask Susie for one of hers as well, because she is an excellent maker of soups, Susie. So in a minute, we're going to ask her for a courgette and parmesan soup recipe.
Daily info. But meanwhile.
There is a recipe. It takes about 10 minutes, literally. You need a steamer.
Cool.
But that's about all you need, apart from a chopping board. So you crush a couple of cloves of garlic.
I'm with you so far.
You shred a little bit of parma ham.
This sounds really good. I hope you're not going to contaminate it with any courgettes.
I'm afraid then you cut courgettes into circles about a centimetre thick.
Okay.
Nice small courgettes. You don't get too big ones, because the small ones got a lot more flavour. And you mix that all together and steam it for about 8 minutes from when the water boils.
Yeah.
And while it steams, you grate some parmesan. And then when the courgettes are reasonably soft but not falling apart, you take it off the heat and you add a couple of tablespoons of creme fraiche, the parmesan, a little bit of salt and a lot of pepper, and it is extremely nice.
You know, that actually sounds good. I might
eat
that.
Sound pretty good. Yeah.
Although I'm a little bit suspicious, because I actually think that this is a bit like that thing about cooking oysters with bacon, because then they taste of bacon rather than oysters. But if you cook this, I will deign to try it. You know?
Well, that's very big of you. Shall we go and ask Susie about her courgette and parmesan?
Absolutely.
Soup? So Susie, would you like to tell us about your courgette and parmesan soup?
Absolutely. Like most of my recipes, I don't really measure anything out. So it
may
not
be... None of the best cooks measure anything out.
Okay, well, yeah, that sounds fine. Yeah, that's me. basically, you need to get yourself a lot of courgettes. Maybe 8, 10, 12. A big lump of parmesan and some cream and some butter.
That all sounds good.
And some onions and garlic. Yeah, that's everything. And then you do your normal onion and garlic thing. Add your courgettes, fry them in the butter. The most important thing here is to fry them in the butter until they go kind of a bit brown and caramelised.
This is the courgettes?
Courgettes the and the onions and garlic.
And you put them all in at once? Or?
I'd normally do, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It might be safer actually to separate them, because if you do the courgettes, if you caramelise the courgettes separately, then there's going to be less risk of burning the onions. Might not be a bad thing to try. But yes, if you don't get them kind of a bit brown and gooey, then the soup is a bit insipid.
Okay. So the courgettes need to be brown, but the onions don't, or everything should be a little bit brown?
Doesn't matter about the onions.
Okay.
Courgettes definitely need to be brown, brown to really brown.
Yeah. Incinerate your courgettes.
Precisely. Yes, first burn your food. After that, add some stock, some cream, some parmesan. Blend it.
About how much cream, roughly?
Well, cream and parmesan to taste, you know how it is. It's hard to believe you can put too much in, although you can.
No,
well, exactly. I'll tell you what, Miranda, you and I will both make this soup.
Okay, and we'll see how many calories we can each pack into our own version.
Okay, yes.
Anyway, I look forward to trying that, because it sounds
fantastic.
Terrific.
I look forward to trying yours.
There's a wonderful website, actually, if you're interested in courgettes or zucchini, called chocolateandzucchini.com. Quite a famous website. It's run by a French girl called Clotilde Dussolier. I'm not entirely sure how to pronounce that, but she tends to put courgettes with everything, you know, sort of cake included, and you have some very good recipes there.
Well, you know what? You might actually have talked me round.
Well, I hope so. I hope so.
That's all for this week. Thank you to Ben, Miranda and Susie. And that's goodbye from all of us here at the Daily Info office.
Remember to check out our website, www.dailyinfo.co.uk, or follow us on Twitter at Daily Info Oxford for news of our next podcast and for events and other things happening around Oxfordshire.